You are still listening to Money Talk on Mix 93.8 FM, and it's time for our Plus 94 Research Intuitive Business feature. Remember, small businesses stand a chance to win 1,000 Rand in this feature by sending us case studies on research done on the success or failure of a business. Don't miss out on this opportunity. Send us your case studies in this regard to radio@moneyweb.co.za. Tonight, we are focusing on price elasticity. As usual, Plus 94 Research CEO Sifiso Falala joins us in studio. Welcome once again.
Thank you very much for having me.
Let's start with the basic explanation of what is meant or encompassed in price elasticity.
Quite simply, it means that when you charge a certain price, if you increase that price, you'd expect the demand for the product to decrease.
Okay.
And if you reduce the price, you'd expect the demand for the product to increase. So you've got products that have a price that is highly elastic. Mm-hmm. What that means is that as soon as you change the price, even by a cent or 2 cents, you lose so many customers. So there's a way you work that out. It's basically the percentage change in the number of people that want the product divided by the percentage change in the price.
Okay.
And you really wish for the number of people that are being reduced from the purchasing pool to be smaller than the percentage change in price. In other words, your price increase should have a positive impact on your bottom line. So, and then on the other hand, you also have pricing that is inelastic. For instance, if you change the price, the demand does not change.
All right.
It might even go up. For instance, luxury products like a Bentley or a Rolls-Royce.
Oh, yes.
you may increase the price. It might actually encourage more of the people that buy it to buy more of it. So that's a definition there.
On the research element, do you find that a lot of businesses go hard into digging up information about what price elasticity would mean for their product? I mean, you just mentioned the high-end products like a Bentley. If they drop the price, I'm sure even some who could not really afford it but are still okay could want to go buy it, but because the price doesn't change, they don't.
And then those that do buy it because it's expensive might then not want to buy it because everyone now is able to buy it. Mm-hmm. You must remember that price is not just the legal tender between yourself buying the product and the company that is selling it.
Mm-hmm.
It also represents an emotional connection between you and the product that you are using to express yourself through.
Mm-hmm.
It is also at the same time something that can represent prestige and status. Price is very important for businesses. If your price is lower than the cost of producing the product, you don't have a business. So it's very important for the price to be at least higher than the cost of operating.
Okay. How then does one price accordingly while operating in a regulated environment?
Yeah, in a regulated environment, it's very difficult because you'd have to operate within the confines of the regulation.
Mm.
It doesn't matter what the optimal price is. You would want to, and most people would tend to comply and charge the regulated price.
Okay.
So that's very limiting in that sense, and the level of competitiveness now depends on you being able to reduce your operating costs. So if you can reduce your costs of producing your goods, then it's all now about the margin.
Mm-hmm.
Because remember, the important thing about pricing is the margin that it offers you,
right,
as a profit on each unit that you sell.
Speaking of regulation, what types of environments are regulated? At the top of my head, I can think of bread, which has been a contentious issue over the past few years.
I think, and also in other industries, for instance, state-owned enterprises, the transfer and sale of, for example, oil through the pipelines and things like that. It's very important to understand the environment in which you operate in, first of all, as a business, whether it is regulated or it is not regulated, because you might find yourself infringing on the law without the intention of doing so.
Mm.
So that's the first thing that one needs to establish. And importantly, to also understand the pricing regimes for your competitors in respect of price is not just about an absolute price, but it's also about value for money, perceived value for money. So you might have say bread, you've given an example of bread, which is say 15 Rand or 17 Rand. But you might also be able to get a loaf of bread that is 30 Rand because it is perceived to be fortified with vitamins.
Mm.
It is perceived to be healthier, made of special ingredients, and so on and so forth. So while the absolute price might be higher, the perceived value might be even higher than the one that you, the product that you buy at a lower price.
The interesting element in the thread that you're speaking about is this surprising balance between the pricing issue and some sort of prestige or luring a market that is perceived to want to buy certain things, and they are basically lured into that notion by the seller itself. How do those two relationships go together versus regulation and versus value for money?
Yeah, because most people, to a large degree, would see price as an indication of quality, which it's not always the case that that is true.
Yeah.
So, for instance, a company like Louis Vuitton, they would dispose of their products so that they do not have to sell them at a lower price, and therefore they maintain the standing of the product as a premium product for which a lot has to be paid for. Mm. And that's in the luxury environment. If you're looking at the lower end of the market, where you'd often then find that you have to compete and the competition is often fierce, what you do need is research. You need market research.
Mm-hmm.
You need to understand what is the optimal price. There are tools for establishing what is the optimal price.
Right.
What is a price premium? What is bargain basement in terms of the price that you can charge? So research would help you locate your product by understanding how it relates from a quality point of view to what it can fetch on the market. If the combination is wrong, your product will not sell. The golden thread there is, if your margin is very small based on your costs, maybe because your reputation is also small, you have to sell high volumes.
Right.
Traditionally, your retailers like your Pick and Pay, Woolworths, were presumed to have small margins.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone used to think that they make 2 cents or 3 or 5 cents per item. And therefore, what they needed to do was to sell to millions of people in order to have a substantial profit. Nowadays, I don't know if that is still the case,
yeah,
but their margins are relatively small. If, on the other hand, you're selling luxury goods, then you can get away with selling smaller volumes.
Mm.
However, you can't be in between. You can't say, I have a small margin and small volumes. Then your business will not be viable. So you have to play around, and you have to then do research to understand where exactly you fit in so that you have the right combination between your price and the quality perception and the value perception.
Common mistakes in this regard? What do some businesses do that is completely wrong and leads to the failure of their business or placement of their product?
Well, they charge wrongly, in a sense that they will charge according to what their competitors are charging.
Mm-hmm.
So they think that if company A is charging, say, 15 rand 50 for an item, we can just charge 15 rand 49 or 15 rand 51 cents. That's a very common mistake.
Mm-hmm.
The other mistake is companies that offer better products and deliver them faster, more efficiently, is to undercharge for their products.
Mm.
When those products could fetch better margins, they tend to undercharge. And more often than not, companies are forced, when products are stuck on their shelves, to offer discounts.
Right.
Seasonal discounts, Black Friday discounts, and all those kinds of things, where products are literally at the cost of purchase for the retailers, or even below the cost of purchase, in order to just increase the volumes. So getting the optimal price for your product is very important, and hence the notion of doing a price elasticity study, because then you get to a point whereby a percentage change in your price is equal to a percentage change in your demand.
Okay.
And if you increase the price any further, now you're going to have a bigger decline in volumes than what you are gaining through a price increase.
Mm.
So it needs to be more or less a scientific process. And the biggest mistake is that it often is not.
Lastly, how does this apply to a new business or even a new market?
Yeah, if you're in a new market which is completely new, you might want to apply what is called a market penetration strategy or a pricing strategy, mm-hmm. where you enter with a very low price, bare bones kind of price to attract people to get into your product category. If you're an established business, it's critically important to understand how much leverage your reputation and the whole suite of products that you have offers you in terms of perceived equity and value for money of your product. Mm. So, and still in both instances, whether you are new or not, you need to have a fix on the volume of purchasers,
okay,
for a fixed price offering, because the two tend to move in different directions.
Yeah.
As one increases, the other one tends to decrease. So that's really the golden thread there.
Thank you so much for your input as always. Plus 94 Research CEO Sifiso Falala talking to us about price elasticity in this week's intuitive business feature.